Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last year, a big homemade banner on Washington Street caught my attention. It was a big white bedsheet strung up across a tree near a Unitarian church. And in handwritten letters, 10 or 12 inches high, it said, "Peace found here." And then, in a parenthesis underneath those words, in letters equally high, it said, "Some assembly required." Peace found here, some assembly required. I laughed out loud when I read it, and it continued to catch my attention on my way to work every day that it was up. It summed up the hopeful but precarious nature of human community so well. Even when a community, a church, or a school, or a family longs for peace, we still have to choose it again and again. And we still have to choose to build it again and again. It isn't enough to admire peace or to yearn for peace. Every day, we have to decide to build peace if we want our life to contain that vibrant, life-giving peace that we know is essential for our souls. If I wanted to sum up today's gospel in a single sentence, I might get a big bedsheet and write in handmade letters 10 or 12 inches high, "Healing found with Jesus, some effort required." Does that seem like a fair summary to you? Here are three elements of the story that make me want to sum up the gospel that way. First of all, part of the gospel lesson this week and much of Scripture shows us that Jesus not only died for us, Jesus lived for us. The large volume of stories in Scripture talk about how he lived out his ministry as much as how he died for us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John want us to pay attention to what he did while he was on earth. And they want us to pay attention to how he did it. Stories in our Christian scripture reveal that Jesus lived as a healer and a teacher and a man of prayer. And these three aspects of his ministry are present to us in the story of the long-suffering woman. Jesus, in his nature, is one who brings wholeness and life and healing with him. Jesus is interested in being our Savior on a daily basis while we negotiate life on this planet, as well as being the Savior of our eternal life. He longs for our healing and our peace as much as we long for it ourselves. And if we think we've already accepted the fact that Jesus is a healer on an intellectual level, I want to suggest that that's not the level that Jesus wants us to accept him as a healer. Jesus wants us to know that he's a healer at the gut level. In this story, we are being invited to not only believe in God's healing, but to act on that divine identity. When we know where we're bent, the story invites us to ask for healing. This gospel story and all the healing stories invite us to be bold. Healing is found with Jesus not only 2,000 years ago, but also now. And the second aspect of the gospel story I want to call to our attention is the fact that the woman who approaches Jesus has been suffering for 18 years, a very long time of suffering, by human standards. Scripture tells us that because of a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years, she was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. And when we hear that Jesus heals her, it's a wonderful thing. But for most of us, it's also a hard thing. If we take this story seriously, we want to know why. Why did this woman have to suffer this chronic and crippling pain for 18 years before Jesus healed her? It's a fair question, but it can't be answered quickly, if at all. The whole question of why suffering and evil exist in the world has been something Christian scripture has been talking about for 2,000 years. And it's important to ask the question, but we don't always get an answer. What we can say is that either because Jesus was there that day, or because something about the time in her life and her own spirit was auspicious, Jesus heals her. And the gift in this story is the obvious point that it is never too late to experience healing. We give up long before Jesus does. We might think that after 18 years, that bent over woman would either be too cynical to bother seeking out Jesus or too comfortable in the predictable pattern that her life had acquired as a cripple. But we would be wrong. She is ready to be healed. And she seems to have kept herself open for healing. And when it comes, Jesus lays his hands on her and prays, and she is healed. I never want to suggest that people with good attitudes always get the healing they seek. Far from it. People can be badly damaged physically or mentally or emotionally for no good reason we can fathom. In fact, hundreds have been maimed or killed in Syria this week. The gift of our human free will, which God gives to humankind, has some terrifying and terrible consequences. But the fact remains that in the story of healing, the woman and her community assumed that this woman could never be healed, that it could never happen. And it happens, even after 18 years. In God's time, in God's understanding, healing comes. If we give up, we give up long before God does. God is not finished with any of us yet. And the third aspect of the story that I want to draw our attention to today is the way that Jesus heals this bent woman. In this story, and many of Scripture's other stories about healing, Jesus works in partnership with the people whom he heals. He does not zap them like some diva magician, using people to build himself up, as if people were objects to reveal his own skills. Jesus does not want to exploit people with his power or hold people in thrall with his power. He doesn't take away their agency or their dignity. Again and again, he works with them. Listen to this short but telling part of our gospel. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, did you catch that? When we read this gospel carefully, we realize that Jesus calls the bent woman over to him. He doesn't go to her. He calls out to her to join him. It couldn't have been easy for a woman bent over like that to walk over to him. It would have taken considerable physical effort, and trust would also have had to be present to have her move her feet to reach him. Nor could she guess what was going to happen when she did reach him, but she went. She had the courage and determination to reach him, and he had the gifted touch to heal her. And other healing stories reveal the same pattern. That blind beggar Bartimaeus, he contributes to his own healing by yelling so loudly at the side of the road that everyone can hear his longing and his trust. And the soldier whose child is sick offers his profound trust to Jesus, and his child is healed. And Martha confronts Jesus with anger and sorrow, and Lazarus is raised. We have to be careful to take the right message from this story. Jesus' healing doesn't depend on our getting it right. God acts beyond our control and beyond our comprehension. We can't fathom the mind of God or know why some prayers are answered and some are not, or why some are answered but not in the way we had hoped. As I get older, I've come to believe that sometimes death itself can be a kind of healing, if the body on earth is so broken by earthly standards that life on earth is no longer possible. But the point I think we're meant to grasp from this story is that Jesus is our partner in prayer. His love for us draws us into partnership with him. And when we pray for healing for ourselves or for others, we're offering our trust and our determination to the divine being. So we echo the model of healing found in this gospel story every Sunday when we gather to pray as a community and hold up our petitions and our intercessions to God. We act like the bent over woman, or Bartimaeus, or Martha, when we lift up our concerns before God, our hopes, our angers, our deep, deep love for someone. Aloud or silently in our hearts, we set them before the gathered community and the divine mind, and we become each other's witnesses. The time and the place become sacred every Sunday when we gather in mutual hope and mutual prayer, trusting that God's love and God's will can be and will be made manifest in the difficult circumstances of our lives, as well as the joyful ones. When we gather on Sunday, healing is found, even if some assembly is required. We pause for a few minutes and we allow grace to seep into our consciousness, and we allow love to offer its possibilities and nurture us. When we gather here, peace is found, even if some assembly is required. We rest in the silence of this place, and if we choose, we can allow the peace and the healing grace to grow in our lives. Amen.